I'm Henry McNulty. This is From the Studio from Spokane Public Radio. This is my interview with Carlianne Forthen-Bruner and Monica Mota from Kindling Productions, here to discuss Season 3 of Rising Tide, a collaborative event showcasing professional dance in the Pacific Northwest. This is Carlianne.
I have choreographers that are local, and we've also got to bring in 33 local artists to perform at the Myrtle Woolton Performing Arts Center next Friday, February 20th.
So this is, as you mentioned, the flagship of Kindling Productions, mm-hmm. and the third annual, right?
Yes,
so this is a much bigger venue, and in that sense, the biggest version of the project. Mm-hmm. How is it different for you as creatives than it has been in the past?
Well, first off, we're really excited to be able to have a larger audience and to be able to present in that beautiful space that encompasses so much of what Spokane is about with the river, and just being able to perform in that gorgeous large stage. It allows for us to have greater capacity for our casts and our choreography and to just explore our ideas in a larger capacity than we have before. So that's really exciting for us.
And what's new this time? It's a continuing series. So what, if anything, sets it apart? Or is it more different iterations of the same thing each time? I know there's a theme to Rising Tide overall.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the theme for Rising Tide is the parable, Rising Tide Lifts All Ships. And what we really like to do for each Rising Tide is to bring in local choreographers who don't, for whatever reason, have a lot of opportunities in this city to present professional dance works. So we get to bring together professional dance artists that are, there's actually quite a few here in Spokane. We get to come all together and create work. And that is a continuing theme throughout each of our iterations. And we've got to perform at the Bing Theater, and then last year at Spokane Civic, and this year at Myrtle. And with each iteration, we get to bring in new voices and some returning voices as well, choreographically, which has been exciting. And this year, we're also getting to include the Gonzaga Dance Program's ACDA company. So they're taking their piece to the American College Dance Conference in a few months, and we get a sneak peek of that before they go. And so it's really nice to be able to work with those students and then bring in that Gonzaga community by being on campus with them too. So that's new for us this year. We've been out in other venues that aren't on that campus.
There's definitely a musical element to this. I mean, there is to dance inherently, one could say, but
yes.
You also have some original music that's playing a part in this production. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. For my work, it's called A Crossing Place. I got to collaborate very closely with Logan McDonald, who is a local composer, and he is part of a couple of different musical groups, including True Hoods. And for this work, he got to plug into his minimalist era, if you will. And we got to work really closely together to create this voice for my vision I had of this dance piece. So usually with dance, we are finding and hunting music that speaks to us and that speaks to the idea that we're inspired by. And then we create to what music already exists. And in this iteration, I got to ask Logan to come into the studio. I had already had some material created, and show him where we were going with it and what I was looking for and the narrative arc of the piece. And then he created this work from that conversation and things that I was asking for. It's about the Spokane River. And so I was like, I want to hear like actual sounds of the river occasionally, and maybe I want some like wildlife in there. And then, but also it's a journey that we're going on from the top of the mountain to the ocean. Can you take us on that journey with music? And he was like, yeah, no problem. Let's go. So.
Well, I won't give away the whole piece, but I do have a sample of it for the audience. Let's listen to the beginning of A Crossing Place.
Thank you.
listening there to music of Logan McDonald called A Crossing Place. That is part of Carly Ann's piece for this upcoming performance. Monica, I'll throw it over to you as well to ask about what you're doing with this coming production and the musical elements involved there.
This piece is coming out of a previous work that I had done. And the music is done by a friend in Seattle named Jed Miley. He's a flamenco guitarist. He did this beautiful solo years ago. It's called Rodeña. When he did the solo, I was like, I want to do that piece. And he said, sure. And so luckily, he was with me live last year. And then from that, we found another piece of music. There's some sad stuff that had happened in our lives. And there was this other piece that we were listening to. And I asked him, do you think we can tie the Rodeña into this other piece, which is called Por Tu Silencio, Lloro. And he's like, I think we can, but we need a really pretty voice for it. Flamenco voices tend to be more harsh and kind of as if someone had been smoking their entire life and then got up and started singing. And it's a really great sound, but this piece was very pretty. And so we had another friend of ours who has this beautiful voice, and we asked her. I was like, will you sing this for us? And she said, yep. So then she puts that on there, and then I was like, okay, now I need a tag. I need an ending, and because I want to bring it up, because it was all very slow and very sad. Not in a bad way. It's quite beautiful, but sad. And so we brought it up in tempo and rhythm and kept it in a 4-4, and so it ends in what's called a tangos. It's a 4-count rhythm. That's how that piece came about. It's kind of about a 2-year process, and it was hobbling a bunch of stuff together, and then the musicians, just because they're brilliant, just did it. And so, and then we kind of dance on top of that. When it's live, it's a little more improv, and we can push and pull rhythms, but when it's recorded, we're just, it's a choreography. So it'll be recorded in this version, but very easily done live.
How does this music being so tied to the very creation of the pieces, it being original or chosen through people that you know, adapted, how does that change your process as choreographers? And I can throw that to either of you.
I was a musician for a very long time. And as a dancer, people would tell me in my classes, they're just like, I'm not saying that I'm an incredible technician, but they would say, oh, you've got this musicality to you. And I didn't really know what that meant until I got older, because the music kind of drives everything that I do. That's not always the case with everybody, but for me, that's very much the case. I hear it, and the moment I hear stuff, I see things. I just automatically. It depends on where I'm at, but I've been lucky enough, and I don't know why I get lucky, but I meet these people, and I'm like, will you do this? And they say yes, and this is what I want to do, and so we get to do things together. The music, to me, tells me what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, it gives me visions of what I need and what I want and what pictures I want to present. But I know that's not the case for everybody, so I don't want to say that's how it works. But for me, that's what it is every time. And I get it anywhere I go. I go to live music concerts all the time, and I'm like, I really want to do a whole evening to The Cure. I don't know if I'd be able to get the rights to that, but I see things all the time when I listen to The Cure. So yeah. That kind of stuff, like, it's everywhere.
Take inspiration wherever you can.
Yes.
Right? Well, Carly Ann, maybe you can speak to the same question. How does it affect your process?
We are vastly different.
Yeah. Which I love. I think that it's great. That's what I mean. Like, that's how I operate, but that's not how all choreographers operate.
No,
I will start with a song sometimes and then change my mind halfway through, or intentionally start with something with a really strong beat, but know that I'm not going to be presenting to that. And I think that comes from my education in like contemporary modern dance in Vancouver. I remember taking a class from a choreographer up there, and he choreographed to Christina Aguilera. And I was like, there's no way we're performing to this. And we didn't. He put it to this very like instrumental song, and it became something completely different. But he started with a very pop song. And I seeing that in my early 20s, I was like, oh, I have permission to like play. It doesn't have to be exactly to a song that I'm committed and married to for the rest of this piece. And a lot of times I don't start with music. I start with a kernel of an idea and then people in my head doing the choreography that sometimes is not humanly possible but looks really cool. And then I have a great group of dancers that I get to work with in different scenarios and say, hey, I want to try this idea and see if it actually is possible. And along that way, I'll find music. And I know that I'm either looking for like a driving beat or something minimalist similar to like what Logan created for me, or I don't have an idea and I will bring in someone and say, hey, will you create something for me? For the first Rising Tide, I created my own score, which was really fun. And I got to cobble together. I had chicken sounds in there.
And
I had
daughter.
I had my daughter. I recorded her telling me a story when she was 3 years old, and I used her voice along with like actual music in it too. And it was a piece about being neurodivergent and masking. And it was really fun to create my own score for that. And I felt very lucky that people trusted me to do that. So yeah, my relationship with music is less consistent, I think, than Monica's when it comes to choreography. And I sometimes wish that it was more like, I hear a song, I see the dance, and boom, it's done. But it's not like that most of the time. So
it does seem like it's different for everyone. And that's something about the creative process across the board, is that people work in different ways. They find inspiration from different things. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all songs from The Cure. You know, it could come from anywhere.
And that's the point of Rising Tide, is that we're trying to give as many different voices a place to perform and create and put pieces together. We don't want them to look exactly the same. Sometimes they're very similar because of the training and styles that we have here. But we, you know, we want different voices. We want different ways of doing things. All we do really is go, here's a night you can perform and do your thing. We don't give a time constraint. We do want concert, meaning we don't want a 2-minute piece, like a competition piece. We want things that kind of develop in however you want, but so they have to be more lengthy and meaty, but we don't say it needs to be this long, it needs to do this. We really have no...
We need to see 32 fuetes on point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't put any of
those. No, we don't put anything other than we've seen your work. Could you come do something for us?
Yeah.
That's it. And then we'll audition dancers. We don't know who you'll get. And then go for it. We don't have a lot of opportunities here for adult dancers. And there's a couple companies, but... Companies in the very loose sense of it, you know, the dancers aren't paid there because it's just impossible to do so. So we're just trying to create an opportunity for those people that love to dance that still want to do it. And it's like, okay, well, let's try once a year. Let's all get together. They've been working on this since the summer, so it's not once a year. And then let's do this. Because it's easier when there's five of us instead of one of us trying to do an evening length, you know, 2-hour show, you know. It's like, we can do this, you know. So there's five of us coming together, 30 dancers, and
sampling of what Spokane Dance is offering. So,
exactly. And that's, I guess, what we can expect from this coming version of Rising Tide as well, which is coming up, by the way, Friday, February 20th, 2026 at 7:30 p.m. This time, it's at the Myrtle Woolson Performing Arts Center. I want to thank you both so much for joining me today. It sounds like a fascinating project.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.